You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. So my guest in this episode is Caitlin Cuevas, and we talk about how she made the decision to leave the family business. You guys, Caitlin worked for her family business for years, and her dad had a vision that she was going to take over the family business. Aye. So how and why did Caitlin tell her dad that she didn't want that job? And what happened next? That's the story. This is a good story. I really enjoyed it. We talk about what Caitlin's dream job was when she was a kid, what she studied in school, what she thought her profession would be, how she found her way to the family business, and then how and why she decided to make that decision and leave the family business, and what happened to her family relationships when she made this announcement after she made the decision. Ah, the pressure. I don't have to tell you guys that families can be very complicated, and families' discussions about money and business, oh my God, so complicated. You know this, am I right? So I think you are going to enjoy this story. So let's get to it. Caitlin Cuevas, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm so happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
Oh, Amy, I am so excited. Let's do the darn thing.
Let's do it. All right. I start every conversation asking my guests, what part of the world do you call home?
Houston, Texas. And at the time of this recording, it is HOT hot, but hopefully by the time this airs, it will not be quite as miserable.
We are recording this at the tail end of August. So, and I was invited to Dallas, Texas for a conference last week. I did not go. And when people were like, why? I was like, yeah, have you been to Texas in the summer? Because I don't think so. Not for me. Not anything against Texas. I love Texas brisket, but it is hot there in the summertime. And I also live in a hot spot. So if I travel in the summer, I like to go somewhere cool. All right. So next question. What is your favorite way right now to transition from a time when you are busy and occupied to downtime?
Okay. So my joking answer is that usually my kids dictate that. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and it will usually look like them running into my office and pulling me away from whatever train of thought I was in. But when that does not happen, my favorite way to transition is by making tomorrow's to-do list. That is something that I swear by. If I don't get a chance to do it when I close out my busy productive time, I try to do it after the kids go to bed so that no matter what, I start tomorrow already with my list.
Wow, that is a good tip. Some people get stressed out by that, right? Like going through and making the list, but other people, it's the way of closing the loop. And then it's out of your mind. It's like, it's on the list. I can relax. And so that's very good. Having the willpower to do it by yourself at the end of the day, instead of when you wake up in the middle of the night is impressive. Very, very good. All right.
I have this mentality that we have a game, like frames of mind, brain space, and my mornings are my A game, and I'm like, I don't need my A game to make the list of what I'm going to do. So like when my brain is already tired, it is a good way to transition.
No, I love it. It's an excellent suggestion. Okay, topic of the day. We are going to talk about a decision you made to walk away from your family business. And I am excited to talk about this for lots and lots of reasons. My first question is going to be about what type of business it was. What kind of business was the family business?
Yeah. So it is a marketing business. The family business specializes in business to business marketing. So for those of our listeners who are familiar with marketing, you know that there is business to business, and then there is also business to consumer. Business to consumer would look like target marketing to us, the business, mm-hmm. marketing to the person, the consumer. Business to business would be a business marketing to another business. So that is what the family business specialized in. Clients hired us to help them with their lead generation, their appointment setting, their sales pipelines, and that is what the family company has been doing for 30 years now.
So 30 years. All right. So when we say family business, then what we're actually talking about with you is this is a business that your family of origin, your parents did. That's
Yes,
very good. All right.
my father started it.
Your dad started very good. Do you have any other family members or siblings that were working in the business?
I am the oldest of three girls. I was the only daughter, the only child to work in the family business.
Ever, 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 even for like after school and high school and all of those things.
My youngest sister, who's 11 years younger than me, worked in the family business maybe like a total of 20 hours for her entire life. So that would be the closest.
That is really interesting. Okay, so then we'll come back to that in a second because that is very interesting. How long did you work in the family business?
Yeah. So I started working in the family business when I was in high school. My parents always had a rule that if I was not, or if I had a summer job, then I could also earn my allowance. If I did not have a summer job, then I got no allowance. During that time, I was a
That is a
summer
rule, by the way.
late.
That is a rule that only makes sense if you've parented teenagers. I'm so fascinated. I want for people who listen to this when they hear it to talk about, to send, write in and share if you had any other similar rule in your family, like what that looked like for you. But that whole, like, you need to get a job. And when you get a job, I will also give you money. It's like that doesn't track fully unless you've had that conversation. All right. Sorry to interrupt, but I was like, gosh,
No, that's okay.
that feels so weird to hear somebody else say that, you know? All right. So then anyway, that was the household rule. You had to have a job. Go on. The question I asked you was how much you had worked in the family business.
So, I started summers as a high school student. Maybe I worked a couple summers as a college student. Honestly, I cannot remember. And then after I graduated, I graduated from Texas A&M University. After graduation, I did not start to work immediately for the family business. I did like maybe 4 years later. And I worked full time in the family business for close to 10 years.
Very good. So can I ask, and if I ask anything that's too personal, you just tell me to buzz off, but what did you study? What were your dreams of what you wanted to do when you were in high school and college?
When at first I thought I wanted to be a teacher. So, but I wanted to work my way up into like administration and possibly being a principal. So I wanted some sort of leadership role, which that part of my life goal or career goal has always maintained, just the wanting a leadership role. But no, I studied English. I minored in psychology. I wanted to double major in psychology, and then I saw how many science classes you have to take to actually get a double major in psychology. So I decided that a minor would work out just fine. So yeah, but my senior year of college, actually my second semester, I was in a shadowing class. So I was physically going into a school and shadowing teachers. And that is when I realized it was so clearly obvious to me that I did, in fact, not want to be a teacher. And I remember calling my parents and saying, I don't want to talk about it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I know I'm not going to teach. And yes, that was that. I remember walking to graduation. Thinking, oh my gosh, my parents are about to throw me a graduation party. All their friends are going to be there and they're going to ask me what I'm doing after college. And I just don't even know. And that was
Yeah, but
a
that's the story. That's a decision that's not the focus of our main conversation, but that's another big decision people make. It's a super common thing because you commit to studying something without knowing what the job is, right?
long time ago.
And this is something I've said on the show a million times when I interview people who are teachers who've changed their job. I actually never had the dream of being a teacher because when I looked at it, it just really looked like a tough job to me. It really looked hard. And I've interviewed probably 10 teachers who, you know, they talk about how tough it was and what a strain it was. And I'm like, hey, I hear you. Like, I'm really thankful for all the teachers in my life. And there was never a moment where I was like, you know what? I can do that. But I love that you figured it out before. And then it put you in the position where you knew. But then I'm hearing from this, you were at a point where you just finished the degree. And then you were like, I got to figure it out after I finish this.
Yes.
Yeah. So then you worked in other jobs, not in the family business for a couple of years. What kind of stuff did you do?
So I did marketing for a small little chicken restaurant called Chick-fil-A that
Oh.
maybe some of you have
All
heard
right.
about.
That little that I hear they have lemonade. Yep.
Yes. So I worked in marketing here at a Chick-fil-A restaurant in Houston, and then I got hired by the Houston marketing team for Chick-fil-A, and then I also got hired in Atlanta at the Chick-fil-A home office where I was not doing marketing. I was a corporate trainer. And
Okay.
so I trained Chick-fil-A owner operators who would come to the home office just for ongoing touch-up annual trainings. It was so much fun. So much fun. I lived in Houston, got to travel back and forth from Atlanta, and it was a blast.
Very cool. So, degree in English, you went straight into marketing. You worked in the family business, which is also marketing, a little bit in high school, a little bit in college. Somehow, your siblings figured out how to not work for the family business. And is it just your dad, or is it your dad and your mom who work in this family business?
So the way I'll answer that is it's my dad who actually clocks the hours,
Okay.
but the family business is, I mean, like you could call like our dinner table, like the boardroom table, you
Got
know,
it.
like it was something that was very collaborative.
So that leads into one of the things that I was interested in having this conversation because one of the things I think is really interesting, I just think a lot of people listening are going to have a connection to the concept of the family business and growing up in a house where there is a business. I remember once years and years ago, I was sitting in some sort of school event. Let's call it back to school night. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I don't know why else I would have been in a room with students and parents. I don't know what, I cannot remember. But the question posed to the room was how many of you work in family businesses, how many of the parents have businesses, and how many of the kids work in the business. About half the people raised their hand, right?
Wow.
And the other people, some of them were like shocked, but so many people have families where part of the business, part of the family has, a nail salon, a soccer store, a restaurant, and then you've got professional things like law firms, accounting firms, all of those things. You guys were in marketing. It's something that people know and have lived. You want to go, maybe you have a job outside, but maybe you have to go like stand behind the counter of your family's shoe store, every Saturday. Like, this is a thing that we all, many of us live through. And that also means, right, that a lot of us know the stories of the generational passing of the torch, right? Like, so people who build a business. Sometimes, I mean, it's like Hollywood, right? They're like the strain on the family of like, Richard and Sons, but the sons are like, no, I don't want to do this, right? Whatever it is. But it sometimes it works, right? You've got a business that stays in a family for like hundreds and hundreds of years. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I there are there. And then other times it doesn't. So let's talk about now what was going on. So you at Chick-fil-A, do you like that? You say you love the job at Chick-fil-A. What brought you back to the family business?
I will never forget. My dad had called and asked me if I could go to lunch with him one day that week. I thought that sounded great. Had no idea why we were going to lunch. He just flat out told me that someone in his leadership team was leaving. He had a spot open. Would I be interested in it? And he outlined what the next 5 and 10 years could look like for me professionally with that role. Told me that he said that he was not rushing me to make a decision, but he needed to fill this spot and he needed to fill it fast so he couldn't slow down the train of momentum. And so to like hop on board if I wanted to. And so I took a couple nights to sleep on it. At that point, I was dating my now husband, chatted with him about it, and it just very clearly felt like exactly what I was supposed to do with my life. And funny enough, that was a huge week in my life because a couple days later, my then boyfriend proposed. So all inside of
Wow.
like 3 days. So got the job offer, gave 2 weeks to Chick-fil-A Houston, gave 2 weeks to Chick-fil-A Atlanta. So I didn't just have to resign from one job. I had to resign technically from two. And then I got a diamond ring. And then I
Wow.
started
That, and at
a
the time, this whole time, are you living in Houston or did you move to Atlanta at some point?
I was living in Houston.
Okay.
Home base was always Houston.
Home base was always Houston. So at this point, your dad offers you this and you do the soul searching and you think to yourself, this lines up with what I want my life to do. It's also in alignment with some of the work that you were doing for Chick-fil-A. So even though you would call that probably B to C, you're like when you're doing.
Yes, more B to C, but in my role at the at the Houston level, I was working on relationships with other businesses.
Okay.
So yes, I was about to say something else to that point, but it escaped me. So
That's all
we'll
right. We'll
come
see
back
if it comes back up. All
to that.
right. So at this time, it's like totally aligned. You worked there for 10 years. And did you enjoy working with your dad?
I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. I knew starting out that it was either going to be really great working him or not good at all. And it seemed like a risk that was worth taking. My family has always been very close, a very tightly knit family. We've always enjoyed hanging out with each other. It's not like an eye roll when we have a family dinner. It's like yay, let's get excited. This is going to be fun. And I got so lucky. Like my dad had always been just a coach in my life. A coach for sports, a coach for helping me write resumes, a coach just for living life and learning how to be an adult, like he taught me how to save money. He taught me how to budget. Just like all of those things, he had always been this coach for me, and now it just seemed to naturally flow that now he's this coach for the business world also. Because at th this is what I was about to say. At this point in my life, I knew I wanted to be a business owner. I had been thinking that I wanted to own a Chick-fil-A, but during that time, during those couple years at Chick-fil-A, I had realized that one of the things that was out of alignment with owning a restaurant, specifically a Chick-fil-A, and the life that I wanted for myself was I did not feel comfortable with, there were a couple different aspects of owning a restaurant, right? Like I didn't feel comfortable with all of the, so many people are touching your money every single day, right? And so like at a certain point, yes, of course you trust your employees, or you hope that you trust your employees, but desperate people do things that they would regret, right? There was that component. And like yes, physical cash, but also like paper goods and the food and the condiment. There's just so much, and I had seen plenty of things happened that I would not have wanted to deal with had I been the business owner. Also, I could never get on board with asking people to work times that I would not myself want to work, such as like holidays. And yes, Chick-fil-A is closed on all of the major holidays, but as an example. So
Yeah.
the restaurant life was not going to be the life for me ultimately, is what I'm trying to get
Yeah,
at.
there's so let me recap that to make sure that that I understand and the audience has a concept of it. So like restaurants are incredibly labor intensive.
Very much so.
And there's also an enormous amount of equipment needed beyond the human resources, but like you've got inventory of food, inventory of supplies, and you've got office hours that are set not by you, the business owner, but by the demands and needs of the clients who are coming in to eat, right? So it's an overlap. And you mentioned Chick-fil-A is closed on some holidays, but when you want to eat breakfast, you eat breakfast. Well, when you run a restaurant, you don't eat breakfast when you want to eat breakfast. You eat breakfast, you know, you work and you're serving when people eat breakfast. So what you're saying is you came into the awareness as someone who was in a supportive role and an administrative role, an office role of Chick-fil-A. You're like, oh, if I actually owned one of these, I would have to staff and deal with all of these man hours, all of these personnel issues, all of the stress about money and loss of equipment and hours and all of those things. Does that sound about right?
Yes. Holy moly, you tied that up so neatly and beautifully.
So you realize, and that's the thing. I mean, people, there's no way to know that until you do it. And also it changes, right? Anybody who's worked as it, like working in a restaurant when you're a teenager, like after school or on the weekends, it's pretty fun, actually. You don't notice
Absolutely.
That it's in the way of the things that you're going to do. And I think that a lot of people get into jobs as youngsters and then they realize, like, oh my gosh, if I work in a nightclub, I'm never going to get to go to the nightclub. You know, like
Exactly.
that's like the, yeah. So that's the awareness. And I think some of it is age appropriate. People figure it out early. I was not one of them, but
Yeah.
okay.
Well, because you only know what you know.
You
And
only
you
know what
know.
you know. Exactly. And there's a lot of pressure. It's one of those funny things. There's a lot of pressure on us to figure things out before we make decisions. And I think that's a weird thing because wisdom comes from experience. And really the way we get the experience is by trying it out. And sometimes that means making decisions that we wouldn't make if we already knew. So, you know, that some people call those mistakes. And, you know, we go from there. But okay, so you go to work for your dad, and this is work that you love. You love working with your family. You're enjoying it. So then, you know, because I know the end of this is that you eventually make the decision to leave. What was on the pros and cons list? Like, how did that start? I was jumping
Yeah.
in. How did that start? How did you start coming up with the idea? You're like, nah, maybe not.
It was very gradual. It almost, like, as cheesy as this sounds, it's almost as if, like, it started off as a whisper and you're like, oh, was that something? Oh, no, I don't hear it anymore. And then, like, it just gradually gets a little louder, and you're like, oh, no, actually, yeah, okay, I do hear that. And then before you know it, you know, at the end of the day, it's like screaming at you in the middle of the night. And so for me, I will try to keep this succinct. The first whisper was I got this idea that I wanted to write a book, and I wanted the book to be, so a question that I had frequently gotten asked, still get asked, Caitlin, how are you always so happy? And my answer was always the same. It's not always that I am, quote, so happy. It is that I am very intentional about how I live my life so that I can be happy. Well, the follow-up question was, okay, how do you do that? So the book answered that question. It's called Think Happy. The book came out in March 2020, so I spent the whole year before that writing it. That was the first whisper. Then the book turned into a podcast called the Think Happy Podcast. Had so much fun podcasting. There's like more than 100 episodes of it out there. And then the podcast turned into working one-on-one with people. I did not know at the time I wrote the book, I did not know that the world that I now work in even existed, right? So just the slow whisper started getting louder and louder. Now, during this time, okay, so you have that kind of like first layer of the story, right? Now, the second layer of this story has to do with when my children were born. So my book came out March 2020. My daughter was born December 2020.
Okay.
So around that time, I had my first experience with motherhood and just, you know, how you only know what you know.
Yep.
And now I had another layer of knowing, and I knew I still wanted to be a professional. I knew that I wanted to be a working mom. But it was very, very hard for me to get behind the idea of paying someone else to be with her and to raise her while I was sitting in Houston traffic to get to work. While I like it was very hard for me personally. So a year and a half later, I got pregnant with my son. And during that pregnancy, the whispers had turned into such a loud roar. The podcast was going full speed ahead. I was coaching clients on the weekends, after work, early in the mornings. I had the roar. And when I left for maternity leave, that's when I didn't go back full time to the family business. So when I was
So,
pregnant with my second is when I told my family that I couldn't stay.
all right. So that is really interesting. Okay. So there's a couple of things. So I think
Lots
a
of
lot of
layers.
people, yeah, a lot of people struggle with the reality of what it takes to work once you have kids, because it's this strange thing where you see other people do it. Right. You know that there are other people that are out there doing it. And you also know that there are other people who stay home with the kids. It becomes sometimes a very divisive, like line in the sand in some communities of women, not here on the show. We see both sides. Right. But
Yes.
it is one of those things that, at least for me, I also came to this like reckoning. I was like, wow, this does not work the way I thought it would. And most of the people that I talk to, in the way that it's like, it's childcare is so much more expensive than I ever would have imagined. The hours of daycare and support do not line up with the hours of any
No.
office that I've ever worked in my life.
No.
Not to mention preschool. No school in that I've ever even heard of lines up with anybody's working hours that I've ever even met when you're working for somebody else. But all of those things are interesting because you were actually working for a family business. And I think that some people would think that that would be where they would be like, all right, it would be much more flexible. So what were the things that were the challenges for you when you were going through making that decision? Because it sounds like you worked for a couple of years, you did continue to work, and your children were in childcare as you were struggling with this.
So actually, Amy, I'm gonna add on yet a third layer to this. So during the time of the whispers, before they turned into a roar, my dad got COVID, and he was out of work for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And
Very
so
sick.
that was, yes, very sick. That was my first taste of working at the family business without him. And that was
Okay.
the first time. So I'm already having these whispers. That's the first time where I'm like, ding, 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 red flag. Something does not feel right. This does not feel as fun as it did. This is not what I think I want to sign up for. He came back from COVID, thank God. And I was very open with him about the feelings I had had, but we kind of just like got back into our flow, out of sight, out of mind. He's back. We're back to having a great time at work. Well, a couple months later, he and my mom took a vacation to go visit some family. And as soon as he left, it was like I was back in that spot again. And I had forgotten about it. And then here I am again. And so that really, I had the whispers. But when he left for that trip and I was back at that spot of feeling like this is not it, I
This is not
don't
what
want
I
to go
want
to
to
work
do.
every day. I don't want to do this without him. At that point, it became bigger than just me and just what I wanted because I knew that I was next in line. I, as he called me, I was his retirement plan. And at that point, it is not just what I want, but it's also the longer I stay quiet, the more I'm going to ultimately hurt him, is how it felt, right? Like pulling the rug out from under him. I know you think you have a retirement plan. Guess what? Peace out. I'm gone.
Right.
And so, as much as I, it was tough because I was sad. I wanted to be the retirement plan. Like, I wanted to be the one that was going to take over the business. I wanted to like it when he wasn't there. I wanted to work it out, and I just couldn't. And I
What changed when he, what was the difference in the office and the work you were doing when he was there versus when he wasn't? What was the thing that made it so much different, do you think?
That's a really good question. You know, I think it was just as silly as this sounds, Amy, I think it is just that I really enjoy being around him. And I think that I enjoyed being around him and learning from him enough that it masked or diluted the fact that I didn't actually like the work that I was doing.
Okay. All right.
Does
Very
that
good.
make sense?
It does because that,
Yeah.
yeah, it does make sense. Because at the time, so you've got a job and you've got what sounds like a pretty successful, enriching side hustle that you were enjoying. So, what is it when he talked about when you guys were talking? Because there's an open discussion between you and him and the family. He's describing you as his retirement plan. Did that mean that you were going to step into his job and he, or buy the business from him? Or what was this? What was the transition plan that you guys had?
Yeah, so originally, the plan was going to be that I would step into his role, and he would just taper
Taper
off.
off. All right. And you, how long did you guys talk about this before you told him you'd rather cut off your arms than do that?
9 years.
All right, so 9 years. So then it's about a year that you guys are talking about it, and he knows that you're working on other stuff. So what
Wait, 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 wait. Hold on. I might have answered your question wrong. He had called me his retirement plan for like 9 years before I ended up leaving the company.
Okay, yeah, because you said 10 years. Yeah.
I worked there for 10.
10 years. All right. So for the first year, he didn't call it that, is what we're saying.
Correct.
Not that there's, so I did, you know what? I had the timeline back on backwards. So, like for the first year, this was not a discussion you guys were having. Then for 9 years, it was, but there wasn't a year after you said, hey, listen, I don't think I want to be the retirement plan that you were still working there.
Correct. Yeah, I told him I didn't want to be the retirement plan when I was visibly pregnant with my second. And then it was, so let's say there was a 6 month period, a 5 month period where we were working on transitioning me out.
Okay. Before you talk to him, like when you got the side hustle, you know that you're loving that. You've had one experience, maybe two. When you begin to think about this, is there a period of time where you're thinking about it, but you have, and you're sort of making the decision yourself, but you have not yet told your dad? All
Yes.
right. So then the question is, who is your support team? Who are you talking to about it? Because this is family, like your family would be your support. They would be your, who is your support team and who are you talking to about this before you talk to your dad?
It was my husband and my best friend, who is a childhood friend. We have been friends since I was like 3 years old. And so she grew up with my family also, but was not in the business.
All right. So on one hand, you've got like a new thing that you like. You've got an idea. You know you don't want to do something. On the other hand, this family business is a pretty safe offer.
Very much
It's
so.
very secure. What was on the pros and cons list for staying and going?
The con of staying was knowing that I would be unhappy in my work and paying for someone else to be with my kids during time that I wanted to be with them when I was working at something that didn't even light me up.
Okay.
You know, once you have kids and if you do make the decision to be a working mom, it was almost impossible for me to think about not doing something professionally that lit me up. You know, if I'm going to choose to be away from my kids for this time, it has to be worth it. You know, your time is so valuable. So that was the con. No. Yeah, that was the if I stayed,
Yep.
that was the con. The pros of staying: a very consistent, reliable salary that would continue to grow. Getting not making the waters choppy with my family.
Yeah.
And yeah, just stability.
Fair, all right.
On paper, the decision did not make sense.
And did you get when you were talking to your husband and your best friend, was it really just kind of chatting it out and they were like a mirroring board, or did they have feedback one way or the other? Did people think that you were, looking the gift horse in the mouth? Like what did they say? Did you have encouragement for going your own way, or did people exercise urge you to
Both
exercise
of them were
caution?
very, both of them were very encouraging. My husband had the perspective that I mean, like he saw and lived with the version of me that was not happy at my 9-to-5 job. My best friend, she is also an entrepreneur. So she, her perspective was, I'm going to support you no matter what you do, Caitlin, but just consider the fact that if you take over the family business, you can then turn it into like whatever you want it to be. You can take it in a different avenue of marketing. You can, you know, like the world is your oyster. So a little bit more, you have a pretty package tied up for you for the
Yes.
rest of your professional life, Caitlin. Just like think about this before you do it. While as my husband, I think he knew that there just was no way on God's green earth that I could be happy doing that,
All right.
especially once I had found the line of work that I'm in now.
And so were you did you have some concerns of going to your family, your dad, and talking to him about this?
It was so scary. I dreaded that conversation so much. And after I had the conversation, I truly thought I had done such great damage to my relationship with him and my mom that I did not know if like we could ever resolve it. It was tough.
It was tough. So, and what, so not, I don't want to get too personal, but they obviously love you very much. You had a very close relationship. It is, what about pursuing your own dreams caused friction in your relationship with your parents?
So for my mom, I think I don't think it was pursuing my own dreams. I think it was a mom's desire to protect her children. And I think that from her perspective, she saw me taking over the family company as we have this like safe professional opportunity, Caitlin, like just because on paper it made sense. It made perfect sense. Take the safe option, you know, I think is where my mom was coming from. And then my dad just, I don't know if he would say this, but I kind of think that his feelings were just hurt ultimately.
That he had built something and you guys had a great time working together and you didn't want it. You didn't want it. That, I mean, I think that, families are complex and family relationships can be really, really hard. And it's interesting because sometimes the thing that drives us to fight is love and best intentions. So that's the what I was. So you make this change. Right. This is a professional change, but it impacts a lot of other things, including your family relationship with your mom and your dad. Right. So you had motivations. You had motivations to be with your kids on your own schedule to do something, and you had and to not be doing the things that you were doing in the family business with your dad as day-to-day responsibilities. What concerns did you have about moving forward, and how did it work out?
What concerns did I have about moving forward? I mean, for anyone who has started their own business from the ground up, I mean, that in it of itself is a concern. You know, the I am a very I like structure, I like routine, I like predictability. I was taking myself, I was knowingly and willingly taking myself out of all of that for the sake of kind of blind faith and just blind trust. And if you're religious, I am trusting in what you think God is telling you to do, not really sure, but also just trusting your own gut and what you think your gut is telling you to do. And then there was always in the back of my head, you know, like, if this fails, am I gonna like have to go back to work? Like, what would I do if I go back to work? You know, just always the what ifs. And yeah, really, that's all that comes to my mind right now.
No, I think that makes sense because, like, you know, starting a new project, you have like the dream of like everything works really well. And then you have the other side of it, which is like, well, who knows? Everything could go wrong. And what will happen then? You know, have I burned all my bridges? Is there something to go back to? And so what is life like for you today? Like, you made these changes so that you could have more time with your kids. I think that's probably worked out pretty well because when we started this interview, you were like, hey, here is my timetable. My kids are home at this time. That's my hard stop. So tell me what life is like for you.
With a lot of risk comes a lot of reward. So on average, I work in my business for 15 hours a week. I work when my children are at school from 8 to 2 o'clock. I work from my home most of the time, whatever coffee shop I'm feeling like. I get to work with moms who are just like me. I work with moms on decluttering their physical spaces, so like your home, and on their mental spaces. So think, you know, like the millions of things that are causing your mental load to always be growing, never lessening. It brings me so much joy, but I don't want to paint a picture that it is all butterflies and rainbows all of the time, because still, ultimately, like every single day, you know, like if there is the feeling that if I'm not working on growing my business, then there will be a day, maybe it's not tomorrow, maybe it's not next week, where I don't have a new client to replace a client who has rolled off or something like that. And you know, I actually had the thought today before our conversation. I had two separate calls with two separate clients. As I was sitting down to that, I was like, oh my gosh. Every coaching call I get on is an opportunity that I have created for myself, and that just feels so freaking awesome. That's where
That's where you
I
are. All right, very good. 15 hours a week. All right, so tell us directly. I want to give you a chance to directly talk to the people who are listening. Tell them what the name of your business is and how they can find more information with you about you after they have listened or watched the show.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to come full circle here. I did not plan this. My business is called Think Happy, which, if you remember, is the name of the book that I
Name of the
first
book,
wrote.
sure.
Yes. And gosh, where can you find me? Instagram. I hang out there a lot. My handle is thinkhappy_co. That's CO. You can find me online, thinkhappyco.com. And if you live in Houston, let's go get coffee.
Right, very good. That is fantastic. All right, so you have a special offer for the audience, which is a Playroom Optimizer session, which some of the people listening to this and watching this are not going to have playrooms. They're not going to know what that might be about. But at one point in my life, I turned a dining room into a playroom. So I think this is a really,
Oh, that sounds lovely.
really, what was the choice? Like, where are you going to put the fence? Like, are you going to fence the kids in, or are you just going to fence? Like, so, and we were just like, really, I just sort of cut off like things. I was like, you can't get into these things, and everything else is yours. So the and so this is a 30-minute call to talk about transforming a playroom into a space that works for both you and your kids, which can be harder than you might think. The value of the product is normally $97, but there's a link in the show notes to get that for free. That's a really great offer for everybody who's watching and listening. The easiest way to get these links, they are in the show notes, but you don't have to run for a pencil and try and remember what it is if you subscribe to the Imperfect Adulting email list, because then I send them to you and you can click on them and it's easy peasy lemon squeezy. Thank you very, very much for that generous offer, Caitlin. Are you ready for my final three questions?
Oh,
All right, here we go. Usually these are not related to the interview, but the first one here is. Okay. As a parent, please name a toy that your child has gotten as a gift that has pushed your buttons or generally annoyed you.
Oh my gosh, a singing cactus that my sweet, sweet sister got for my kids. She does not have kids. So again, you only know what you know.
A singing cactus. Yeah, no, that's but I went before I had kids. I used to get people big boxes of blocks for their kids, and one time somebody was like, I don't know if I'm sending you a thank you card for this, thank you but no thank you, because it was like this thing, it's like the kids would just turn it right over and dump it on the floor. It made a huge amount of noise. Blocks generally are a good thing, but you know, the noise making of the dumping was unpopular with this person, and I get it. All right, question number two. How do you feel about reality TV, like relationship and dating shows, like The Bachelor and all of that company? Love them or hate them?
Okay, I used to love them when I watched more TV, but I don't watch much TV right now. I'm very much in a reading phase of life, and I'm into reading romantasy, so
Okay.
the fantasy romances. So that has taken my reality TV show time.
I love that. That's so good. That's so good. Romance. I think romanticism is new. I have to tell the next person I interview who's a publisher, I'm going to ask them whether or not that's always been around or whether or not that's a new thing. But I feel like everybody is reading that. All right. So very good. Number three, share the last thing that you purchased for yourself and just you, not anybody else. Hardest question to ask a mom of young children ever.
Clothes, and it was actually a pair of jeans from Target.
That tries. Very good. I love that's it. That's it. Caitlin Cuevas, thank you so much for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again. Please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.